Okay, I'm going to call the April 19th remote meeting of the Conference Committee on House File 3420, the Drought Assistance and Recovery Bill, to order. This remote meeting will be held in accordance with House Rule 10.01. We've had brief comments with Senator Westrum and very brief conversations about this bill. I think it's safe to say that we all appreciate the importance of this bill, but also we need to acknowledge that neither body wants to put it in a take it or leave it situation on issues that we both have strong feelings about. So given that, while we take slightly different approaches, I'm hopeful that we can be able to work out our differences in short order and hopefully come up with an end product that builds on the ideas of each body. Any messages from Senator Westrum as far as opening comments before we begin? Anything that he would like to relay? Joel? Oh, there he is.
Rep Sardine.
Hi. Okay. Great. Yeah, get us started here.
Yeah, no, you go ahead and run it. I think it's good we were able to get together and just see the similarities and the differences, but we both are, you know, with the farm and the emergency drought aid, it's $10 million we're trying to work on with that side of it, and I know you have some additional dollars in your bill as well, but it's good that we can get together and start figuring out the similarities and how to bridge the differences. So okay, welcome to everybody. Glad we could get started here.
Great. Thank you, Senator. We got nonpartisan staff available to do a walk through the differences, and I guess we can start with them. Walk through from House on those differences. So I guess we can do this walk through now, and members of the House and Senate nonpartisan staff can take us through these differences. We can start off with Mr. Savory and Ms. Grunewald to kick it off.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Ken Savory, House Fiscal Staff. I'll be referring to the spreadsheet that was included in member packets. If there's a preference for me to show the screen, I'm happy to do so, but I would, there we go. Thank you very much, Ms. Connolly. I'll just walk through the column B, which are the House provisions for HF 3420. Beginning on line one is Minnesota Department of Ag. Line two is the livestock and specialty crop producer grants. The House appropriates $5.1 million for that purpose. Of that purpose, there are several carve-outs, and I'll go through those. The first is on line three, which is $1 million for livestock farmers. The second is on line number four, which is $1 million for specialty crop producers. Then skipping down a few lines further, on line six is $100,000 for livestock feed transportation. And then moving down a little farther, on line eight is $500,000 for producers who are farmers and are also farmers market vendors. And then finally, for agriculture items, on line nine is a transfer to the Rural Finance Authority of $5 million. So an all total on line 12 for the Department of Ag is $10,100,000. Now, I'll skip down a little further. There are several environment-related or DNR-related appropriations. Line 15, those begin on, and that is resolving well interference for $300,000 in FY22. And on line 16, water efficiency grants to public water suppliers, $3 million appropriation in FY22. And then on line 17, are grants to local and tribal governments for tree replacement. That's $4.5 million in FY23. And then line 18 is to replace drought killed seedlings at the $5.5 million appropriation in FY23. So in all total for the Department of, or the DNR, it's $3.3 million in FY22 and $10,050,000 in FY23 for a total of $13,350,000 for the DNR. All told, on line 21, the total between the two agencies for the House proposal is $13,400,000 in FY22, and then $10,050,000 in FY23 for a total of a biennial total of $23,450,000 FY22-23. The House in column C does not have any proposals that go into the FY24-25 tails. And so, Mr. Chair, through permission, I would turn it over to Ms. Grunewald to cover the Senate columns for the Senate proposal.
Thank you. Ms. Grunewald, please.
Mr. Chair and members, for the record, my name is Hannah Grunewald, and I'm with Senate Council Research and Fiscal Analysis. And I'll briefly walk through column D. The Senate proposal has $10 million in new spending in fiscal year 22. And beginning with the Minnesota Department of Agriculture on line two, the Senate proposal includes $7 million for livestock and specialty crop producer grants. Of that amount, $5.5 million is for livestock farmers on line three. And then on line five, $1.5 million of that $7 million is for specialty crop producers and livestock farmers. Then skipping down a little bit on line seven, $100,000 is for livestock feed transportation, and that amount is of the $1.5 million for specialty crop producers and livestock farmers. And then on line nine, there's $1.5 million dedicated to the Rural Finance Authority. Line 10 shows a $1 million appropriation to the veterinary diagnostic laboratory equipment. And then line 11 shows a transfer of $500,000 for the Agriculture Emergency Fund, bringing the total of the Minnesota Department of Agriculture appropriations to $10 million. And then as with the House proposal, there are no tail appropriations in column E. And that concludes my remarks. I can, Mr. Saber and I can stand by questions, or we can move on to council.
Well, we have Colby Sullivan, House Research here. We can hear from Colby Sullivan, please.
Mr. Chair and members, I'll walk quickly through the House language, trying not to repeat the items that Mr. Savory and Ms. Grunewald already covered. But if we scroll down to the bottom of page one, this is the House language. See, there's a statutory change in the House language. Both the House and the Senate would provide additional funding to the Rural Finance Authority for drought relief loans under the Disaster Recovery Loan Program. The House language also makes a permanent or ongoing statutory change to eligibility requirements for RFA disaster recovery loans. So you can see on lines 1.22 to 1.23, under current law, a farmer who's eligible for a disaster recovery loan has to have received at least 50% of their average annual gross income from farming over the prior 3 years. With the House language, that would be changed to farmers who received at least 20% of annual gross income in the prior year from farming. This was also a part of the governor's agriculture supplemental budget proposal for this session. And it's not in the Senate language. So then moving on to page two of the House file. This is just technical language. Representative Hansen has an identical bill, House File 3598. So section two is technical, stating that should both bills be enacted, the appropriations would be given effect only once. Then moving on to section three, this is the House language providing the appropriation to the Department of Agriculture for drought relief grants to eligible farmers. Mr. Savory covered the allocations that are specified within this subdivision, and my counterpart, Ms. Painter, and I, we developed a table that compares in more detail the House and Senate provisions for drought relief loans to farmers through the Department of Agriculture, because this is the area where there is the most similarity between the two bills, but also quite a few differences. So after Ms. Painter covers the Senate language, we'll quickly walk through that separate comparison document. So for now, we can move on then, please, Ms. Conley, to page three, House Section 4. This is the $5 million allocation to the RFA that Mr. Savory covered for disaster recovery loans, specifically for drought relief. And then if we move to the bottom of page three, this is House only, Article 2. This is the natural resource appropriations that Mr. Savory covered. Paragraph A is the $300,000 for resolving well interferences that occurred between May 1st, 2021 and December 30th of 2021. This is appropriation to the department for its costs. Paragraph B, which starts on 3.17, this is the $3 million appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources for grants. And those grants are to municipal, township, and tribal governments that operate their own public water supplies in order to increase water efficiency. And moving on to paragraph C, this is $4.5 million, again, appropriated to the DNR for grants. And these grants would go to local and tribal governments to remove and plant shade trees impacted by drought and to provide these communities with tree watering equipment. Then on the last page of the House file, page four, paragraph D is the $5.55 million to the Department of Natural Resources to both replace drought-killed seedlings on DNR lands and also to award grants to tribal, county, and private forest landowners to replace drought-killed seedlings on their lands. And that, Mr. Chair, is the end of the House language. And if you'll allow, I'd turn it over to Ms. Painter to present the Senate language.
Thank you, Mr. Sullivan. Starting with section one, Ms. Grimaud already walked through how the money is broken up for the grants. So I think if we go down to lines 1.19 talks about the feed transportation. The Senate language includes the cost of taking an empty truck to pick up feed as well as the loaded transport back to the farm. Moving on to line 1.22, the maximum amount of the grants would be $5,000 on a first-come, first-serve, non-competitive basis. And then the way that the eligibility is stated in the bill is that the producers must be located in counties that were designated as a primary natural disaster area. And that amounts to 67 counties throughout Minnesota. And then moving on. Paragraph B provides an additional $1.5 million for the Rural Finance Authority. And then the Senate language also has a reporting requirement beginning in January of 2023 and then every year after that for both the loans through the Rural Finance Authority and also for the grants. Section 2, the veterinary disease testing equipment, will help the VDL prepare for managing chronic wasting disease, African swine fever, and avian influenza. And again, they're required to put together a report of what they spent from this money. And then finally, Section 3 allocates $500,000 for the agriculture emergency account with a temporary allowance to spend money for avian influenza testing supplies. And that's the Senate bill.
Any questions anybody wants to throw up right now at this point before you move on to the department for input?
Mr. Chair, I think Mr. Sullivan indicated that there was another chart that they would be able to go through.
Okay, let's do that. Mr. Sullivan?
Mr. Chair, this is the table that Ms. Painter and I put together to show in more detail the differences between the House and Senate proposals with regard to the grants that the Department of Agriculture would award to farmers who were impacted by drought. So I'll do the first few rows and then hand it off to Ms. Painter to wrap up and move through this fairly quickly. I'll skip the first row because you already heard from the spreadsheets the differences in amounts proposed by the House and the Senate. Second row has to do with the allocations or the amount Mr. Savory referred to, I think, as carve-outs for different categories of impacted livestock producer. as quickly, the House has the $1 million for livestock producers, $1 million for specialty crop producers, and then the $500,000 is for farmers market vendors who are also either livestock farmers or specialty crop producers. And then the House has the $100,000 specifically earmarked for compensating farmers, livestock farmers, for certain hay and forage purchases, which is covered in more detail in a subsequent row. And just one thing to note, the House language also allows the Department of Agriculture to reallocate these buckets of funding based on demand. So if the demand were higher in one of these areas, the department would have the authority to move money between the buckets to satisfy demand. The Senate language is out of the $7 million, $5.5 million for livestock producers, $1.5 million for either livestock producers or specialty crop producers, and up to $100,000 of this $1.5 million amount would be for livestock feed transport compensation. The next row shows the max amount per farmer in the two bills, $10,000 in the House bill, max per farmer. In the Senate, it's half that, $5,000. How would farmer payments be determined? Generally, that's the next row. The House language specifies that an individual farmer's compensation would be equal to their drought-related expenses that were incurred between April 1st of last year and May 1st of this year, up to, of course, that $10,000 max per farmer. The Senate language, the farmer would attest the value of the loss that the farmer suffered due to drought, and so that would be the amount that the farmer would be compensated would be equal to that loss up to the $5,000 cap. Then quickly in livestock feed transport, the two bodies are similar here, but there are a couple of key differences. The House language would direct the Department of Agriculture to reimburse farmers up to $6 per loaded mile of drought-related costs to transport hay or forage for up to 25 miles to the farm. Senate language would direct the department to reimburse those same farmers $6.60 per mile to obtain or transport feed or feed ingredients up to 25 miles to and from the farm, but only of those costs are not eligible for reimbursement under the USDA's Emergency Assistance for Livestock, Honeybees, and Farm-Raised Fish program. With that, Mr. Chair, I'd like to turn it over to Ms. Painter to finish out the comparison table.
Thank you, Mr. Sullivan. Mr. Chair, members, the next row is about farmer location. In the House bill, eligibility is for any livestock or specialty crop farmer impacted by drought in 2021. And in the Senate bill, it's farmers, producers located in a county designated by the USDA as a primary natural disaster area between July 20th, 2021 and December 31st, 2021. The House bill has language to give preference to those located in counties designated D4 in 2021, and then moving on to counties designated D3 and D2, with payments randomized if the demand exceeds the funding. And in the Senate bill, grants are issued on a first-come, first-served basis. In the House bill, the Department of Agriculture would get 6.5% for administrative costs, and in the Senate bill, there are no administrative costs allocated. The House bill requires outreach for emerging farmers, and the Senate bill does not. The House bill does not have any reporting requirements, and the Senate bill does. And in the House bill, there's $5 million for the Rural Finance Authority disaster recovery loans, and there's $1.5 million in the Senate version. That concludes the chart.
Okay. Any further comments? Okay. We could hear from Commissioner Peterson's not here, but Commissioner Bobel, please. Introduce yourself and share your thoughts on what we're discussing here.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair and conferees. My name is Andrea Vowell. I serve as Deputy Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. I know you've received a copy of the letter that we sent to all of you. I thought I would just stick closely to that as we walk through some of our thoughts about the bills that you've put forward. Can you all hear me okay?
Perfectly. Thank you.
Excellent. Okay, good. First of all, we just want to thank you very much to you and all of your colleagues for all the work that went into putting together your respective chambers' drought relief bills. We really appreciate it and are grateful for the work that went into it. We have a couple of thoughts about what's been put forward. We'll just start with the rapid response grant. So in terms of the allocation breakdown, when it comes to the livestock and specialty crop producers and the individual payment amounts that are outlined in
I think we lost you. Commissioner Bobble. Commissioner Bobble, I think we lost you.
There will be significant staff costs. Oh, can you hear me okay?
Now we can. We lost about 40 seconds of you there.
Okay. Sorry about that. I'll repeat the last piece. We also prefer the House language that allows administrative costs for the department to be able to do these grants. This is a significant staff capacity load on top of what they're already administering. So we do need to be able to pay for the staff time that would go into getting these grants out and getting them out very quickly. We also appreciate all the thought that went into the producer eligibility thoughts. We do want to propose a third option, which we know is something that we appreciate you even entertaining. We did provide some additional language that we think could work to add to the Senate language already existing, but basically we would allow for contiguous counties that are those designated as primary natural disaster areas by the USDA. For the Rural Finance Authority, we would prefer the House language of $5 million to ensure we cover the expected needs, not only of the drought, those affected by drought, but as we mentioned in the letter and all of you know very well, we have been affected quite significantly by the outbreak of high path avian influenza, and additional needs will be put and additional pressure will be put on the disaster relief loan program out of the RFA. And we want to make sure that we have all the funds available to be able to cover not only the drought needs, but also avian influenza. We do support the Senate's investment in both the Veterinary Diagnostic Lab, or the VDL, and the Ag Emergency Account. We do want to take the opportunity to thank you all again for the recently passed $1 million investment in the Ag Emergency Account for our response. But we want to make sure that we have what we need in the coming months to be able to cover the needs. And certainly the VDL have been an incredible and integral partner to make sure that we're able to respond and respond quickly. And then we do support the governor's original request for dollars to the DNR, which the House position also includes. We wanted to make sure to reiterate that. So with that, I will pause for any questions, or Mr. Chair, if you want to wait till after my colleague at DNR has been able to speak.
Well, let's go to you first. If any questions for the commissioner at this point?
Mr. Sundin or Representative Sundin, this is Dames. I have a question for
Senator Dames, please.
So if we use the House language, how would you determine, and as I understand, the House language does not request or does not require proof of loss, how would you determine how much to pay out in the grant?
Commissioner Bobble, please.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair and Senator Dames. I do have our grants supervisor, Ashley Bress, who has a lot of experience in implementing these rapid response grants, particularly after COVID. So I will ask her to just speak to that question.
Ashley Bress, please.
Sure. Mr. Chair, Senator Dames, for the record, my name is Ashley Bress. I supervise the grants team in the Ag Marketing and Development Division. Under both the House and the Senate scenarios, we anticipate basing payments on the actual expenses in incurred by those eligible farmers. So rather than just writing a check strictly for their loss, we anticipate actually looking at the expenses that they incurred and basing the checks that way.
So then you'd be requiring a proof of loss.
Ms. Press.
Chair Sundin and Senator Dames, it wouldn't so much be based upon the proof of loss, so when you think about it in terms of revenue, but based upon those additional expenses that were incurred because of the drought.
Anything further, Senator Dames?
Thank you.
Okay, I see Samantha Vang has her hand up.
My question is...
Technical difficulty here. There you go. Representative Vang, go ahead.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So my question is related to the language on the USDA primary natural disaster. Is there a map that references that?
Mr.
Commissioner Bobble?
Mr. Chair, thank you so much for the question, Representative Vang. Yes, there is, and I can provide that to the committee here this afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Any further, Representative Vang?
Nope, that will be all.
Okay, thank you. Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Commissioner Vobel. I think just wanted to delve in a little more onto the issue of attesting loss versus documented expenses. I think documented expenses shows that you know, what were actual costs that needed to be reimbursed versus attesting that, hey, I lost $5,000. And so I'm looking at, you know, USDA program, Pandemic Response and Safety, PRS grant program, where, you know, I think for that federal program, farmers had to attest their loss on what they had and what they had to spend expenses on for the pandemic. And if you had to buy a new water tank or if you had to buy more water equipment or something, that was an expense that, you know, in this situation, I think would be eligible because it's an expense, not a loss of profit. My question on this is that as far as the department would be determined when implementing the program, I want to look at, in both cases, the definition of farmer. So is it someone determined by USDA as actively engaged and it would be one grant per farm entity, or could it be a land owner who receives crop rental payments achieving a expense, or is it a producer? Is it the farm entity and a spouse and children? You know, those are some questions about how would you actually determine. I am concerned that you could have multiple people sitting by the computer and logging in and attesting to a loss. And I think we want to make sure that we're actually reaching the people that need it the most with the program. So I know those are a series of questions, Mr. Chair, but it would help define and get on the record how the program would be implemented.
Commissioner Bobble, can you help us with this?
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair, and Representative Hansen for the question. It's an excellent one. I'm pretty sure I know how I would answer this, but I'm going to just refer to Ashley to make sure that I get you the right answer. So, Ashley.
Ms. Bress, please.
Sure. Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen, assuming there's no other legislative direction that we would be awarding these grants to the principal operators of the farm and using the definition of a farmer as USDA has set out, and the checks would be limited to one per farm and would not be provided to everybody in the household or who may be working on that farm.
Okay, Chair Hansen, anything further?
Thank you for getting that on the record.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Anderson, please.
Thank you, Chair Sundin. Question for Commissioner Bobel. You mentioned increasing eligibility to contiguous counties, and I think we've already increased eligibility to somebody who gets 80% of their income off the farm. But my concern with your suggestion here is, I think this drought was unusual in that, you know, I'll kind of take my area as an example. You go 20 miles south of me, and they had some of the best crops they ever raised in their careers. So the county next to me, under your suggestion, would be a contiguous county and would be eligible for drought assistance. So I'm just wondering why the haste to, again, broaden the eligibility when, you know, with the House dollars, we're talking about reaching 500 farmers if the grants are $10,000 apiece, and 1,000 farmers if they're worth $5,000. So I think there's going to be a lot more demand out there than money available to help these producers. So just I want to get your thoughts on why to increase the area eligible to contiguous counties.
Commissioner Vobel, please.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson. That's also a very excellent question. I just have a quick thing, and then I will let Ashley speak to this as well. As I know, we've done a lot of work and looking at where we're hearing a lot of the damages. I think to your point, Representative Anderson, it was quite interesting because we had some farms where they were quite deeply affected by the drought, and then a mile down the road, they had the best crop they've ever had. So I think our concern was that there's quite a few folks who were impacted significantly, but maybe didn't reach that certain threshold and would have significant expenses that they would need assistance with. So I think that was sort of the impetus, I think, for that. But I will ask Ashley to just fill in any gaps I've missed.
Ms. Brass, please.
Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, that's also a really good question. The other option that we have suggested would very closely match the counties that were included in the House proposal, but it would most match or very closely match the number of farms and the number of counties that were eligible under the House, but it gets us out of the number of the separate categories to manage, whereas the House includes D4, D3, D2. This would treat all of those counties similarly. So it's just much less confusing for our farmers who would be applying in so that they wouldn't have to determine which drought level that they are a part of, and it would enable us to get those checks out a little bit faster.
Okay. Any further, Representative Anderson?
No, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I guess I'll make a couple comments, I guess. I guess prioritizing with the D4 ranking system, D4, D3, D2 system makes a great deal of sense here. I don't know, we haven't talked about that too much. I guess the Senate approach, you know, they've got that first come, first serve approach. I'm not too sold on that. Sounds like some people that would be skilled in asking for money or grabbing money, you know, they'd have their feet in the trough first and, you know, feeding for some people who weren't real familiar with the system, with the department systems would engage, you know, in application for assistance. Can you touch on that again, Commissioner Vobel?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You mean just on the first come, first serve, or the
challenge? Yeah, versus you know, the more prescriptive allocation.
Yes, I'll take a stab at that for sure. I think for that, to your point, what you made is a good one. That there's a lot of folks who don't know how to access how to apply for these kinds of things and what kind of documentation we might need, and they might have a lot of questions. There's others who are a lot more familiar with our processes, so we want to make sure that all have access to the funds and the ability to be able to get their application in. So we just want to make sure that it's as fair and inclusive as possible. Ashley, I might have missed something.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for that. Yeah, and the house, we set $1 million for the livestock farmers, you know, and for the specialty crop farmers. Just wondering, is that going to be sufficient for the special, you know, let's talk about specialty crops here a little bit to get the money to them, because that's part of the puzzle here too, you know, as far as ag throughout the state. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more, or give us a little more guidance on that?
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I think as we mentioned, we prefer the House language in this instance to allow, we're as you said, specialty crop producers were also significantly affected by the drought, as were our livestock producers. So this gives us a little bit more flexibility, as we're not quite sure what kind of response we're going to get and what kind of requests that will come in. So we do want to make sure that we reserve enough for each, but does give us the flexibility to be able to provide the dollars where they're most needed.
Okay. Any other questions for the commissioner or company? Okay, I don't see anything, don't hear anything. Man, we've got the Commissioner Sarah Strawman with us as well, and Bob Meyer, Assistant Commissioner, he's available as well. Any comments you can share with us at this point, Commissioner Strawman?
Mr. Chair and members, yes, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today to share a few comments on the drought relief package under consideration by this conference committee. Again, my name is Sarah Strowman. I am the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. And I want to start by just saying thank you and expressing our appreciation for the work done thus far to assemble these bills in both the Senate and the House. We know at DNR, of course, that the drought was incredibly hard on farmers, and we're very supportive of the legislative efforts to address those impacts. We also know that the drought was hard on other sectors of our economy. It was hard on communities across the state, and it was hard on Minnesotans because of impacts and significant impacts to water and trees, which I think we can all agree are two of our most important natural resources in Minnesota. And so, Mr. Chair, I would just like to briefly address the items that are included in the House version of the bill are not included in the Senate bill that we continue to believe are very important to address as part of comprehensive drought relief to address the 2021 drought. Last fall, DNR and the governor announced a proposal totaling $13.35 million in funding to provide relief to the significant adverse effects of the 2021 drought on shade trees in communities, tree seedlings planted during reforestation efforts on state, county, tribal, and private lands, and funding for water suppliers and water users. This proposal was then carried forward in the governor's 2022 supplemental budget. The funding for these are provided in four different programs. The first addressing drought-induced seedling mortality. This is to address, as I said previously, seedlings that were planted as part of reforestation efforts, but then were lost to drought in 2021. So essentially, these are our forests of the future upon which communities rely on for their economies, whether that is a timber economy or whether that is a recreation tourism economy. What I can say is we know on some DNR sites, we lost up to 100% of seedlings that were planted. And so this funding is intended to allow DNR to replant those public forest lands for the future, and then to provide pass-through dollars to county, tribal, and private landowners who also lost seedlings due to drought. The second program is the Community Drought Relief Grant. I think hopefully you all are aware, the DNR has a program by which we provide funding to communities to enhance shade tree cover in their communities, particularly in light of the losses due to emerald ash borer. The drought combined with loss of emerald ash borer has really exacerbated tree loss in some communities. And so this particular piece of the funding, the $4.5 million, is for grants to communities to replace shade trees that were lost due to drought during 2021. And then I think, as your staff also highlighted, it would also include eligibility for equipment to make sure that communities can water those trees so that their survivability is upped. And then the other, the third program relates to water conservation grants. These are grants to local units of government. We had communities across Minnesota affected by the drought because we have to, as the DNR, let those communities know that during times of drought, they have to implement a water conservation supply plan. And so many communities did that. That often means residents are affected, whether that's through services that may not be available, certain water uses, or whether it may be through sprinkling bans. Each community develops their own plan. But what we know is this won't be the last time we need to do that. And so one of the things that we can do is to help communities, help their residents create more water efficient uses, for example, through repairing leaks, perhaps, that residents may have in their home, educating folks on appropriate water conservation measures, or incentivizing homes and businesses to install water saving devices, whether that be irrigation systems or fixtures in the home. And so to provide this particular program is to provide funding, $3 million for grants to municipal, tribal, or other community water suppliers to ensure that we are proactively addressing the impacts of drought. And then finally, Mr. Chair, the $300,000 for the individual or small community well interference. And what we know happens during drought, and in fact, what we saw in 2021 is an increase in the situations that we call well interference. That's a situation when a domestic well user runs out of water. Essentially, their well runs dry because there is a high capacity groundwater user nearby that is drawing down that water. And so last year during the drought, we had 24 domestic well interferences officially reported to the DNR. We had an additional 34 out of water calls. These are situations we have to investigate and then remedy. The reality is that in the meantime, while we are looking to understand the problem and why someone has run out of water in their well, they need to address the problem immediately because they are out of water. And so they may have costs that range anywhere from $2,000 to $10,000 to lower their well, to dig it deeper, or have some other corrective action taken. And so this funding would be available to those domestic well users who need to find an immediate remedy while we're investigating and addressing the longer term remedy. So, Mr. Chair, I'll stop there. I will note, similar to the Department of Agriculture, we did submit a letter with essentially the comments that I just summarized, and I am happy to answer any questions, as is Assistant Commissioner Bob Meyer.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner. That's good information. I'm just wondering about, you know, the pulp and paper industry, the lumber industry. You know, they're not immediately affected, but, you know, with the seedling mortality rate the last couple of years, you know, due to this drought, how's that going to affect the industries down the line? Commissioner Stroman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for that question. It certainly will affect those industries, as well as the, you know, recreation and tourism industries down the line, people who rely on those trees and those forests. Clearly, it's a very different time horizon than the farmers who experience very immediate impacts to crops and livestock. The reality is, you know, our forests take a long time to grow. And when we lose, in some cases, an entire year class of trees, an entire, let's say, you know, an entire planting of trees, trees, right, that means that will not be available at the time when it should be to mature. And so what we would see is essentially a shortage of trees at some point in the future if we're not able to replace those trees we lost this year, in addition to the trees that we should be planting in this next year to make up for ones that have been harvested or lost otherwise.
Well, thank you for that. Now, when we talk about seedling mortality, you know, we're not talking about just one-year planting. Some of these are 2 or 3 years old, and we lost 100% of those as well, like three generations of them. Is that what you're saying, Commissioner Stroman?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, overall, we estimate that we have lost approximately 72% of our conifer plantings across lands. We know from field monitoring that we have lost 100% of trees on some sites. And yes, it isn't necessarily just one, you know, just trees that were planted in 2021. It's those young seedlings, you know, when they're just a few years, they're vulnerable to drought. The thing I could say just on the impacts to forestry, again, it's not those immediate this year, but without those trees, we will see those effects in as little as 20 years to the industry. And so it is important so that we're not back here in 20 years with a future legislature saying we need to now provide drought relief to the forest industry for a drought that occurred right some time ago and we didn't replace those trees. Our point is we need to replace those trees now because those impacts will be felt. There's little doubt of that.
Okay, I think what you're saying is it can't be remedied years down the line. It needs to be remedied now. Thank you. I see Representative Anderson has a question.
Thank you, Chair Sundin. A question for Commissioner Stroman. I would assume that you have a regular schedule of planting trees at the DNR. So my question is, this year would you double the amount of trees you would plant? And then the question becomes, are there enough seedlings available to kind of double the number of trees you plant this coming year, for example?
Commissioner Stroman, please.
Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, thank you. That's a great question. And essentially what you will see in the House language is the dollars are actually available for a longer period of time in order to ensure that we have time to grow the stock that we would need to replace. So some of it is going to ultimately depend on the degree of losses, particularly on those tribal county and private lands. Our goal would be to get going as soon as possible to replace as many as our current stock would allow, and then the funds would continue to be available so we could also, you know, enhance the number of seedlings we have and get those replaced.
Representative Hansen, Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioner. I think you even had volunteers out picking up pine cones so that you would have seeds that we could start that process if it would work. Is that correct?
Mr. Strong?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, yes, we routinely use volunteers to help us with seed collection for a variety of forest trees and plants. But folks may be surprised to know that our state forest nursery actually does, yes, operate on some volunteer labor in that seed collection.
And Mr. Chair?
Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Two questions. One is on the well interference. It's a 300,000, but when your well goes dry, it's a big deal, and there's often a chance for conflict. Could you maybe just describe how that money would be used when there's a well interference?
Commissioner?
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen. So essentially, when we get a call of a well gone dry and we suspect it's a case of well interference, that there's another high capacity user with a permit in the area, that takes us some time to investigate that and confirm that it is a, you know, due to that well interference, due to a certain high capacity user. And then obviously we can adjust amounts. In the meantime, typically what happens is that well owner who is now without water needs to do what they can to repair their well, to lower their well, or their pumps, drill a new well perhaps. to make sure that they have funding or to make sure that they have water in the meantime while we were doing that investigation to confirm that we have a well interference and we know where that well interference is coming from so we can address it. And so obviously that presents an immediate financial hardship to those folks who find themselves without water. And so that's what this funding is for, is to help, whether it is an individual or a small community water supplier, to help them fund that in the meantime.
And Mr. Chairman, thank you. And then on the community assistance for shade trees, with the drought, it's going to be a lot of small rural communities that may have very strapped budgets that would get the trees that are going to have to be replaced. And they just, is that generally where you're seeing a lot of the demand, is small communities where the drought is impacting them and they just may not have the budget to replace those trees?
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen, I think we see communities all across Minnesota apply for this funding. It's typically a very popular program, especially in those communities that are already suffering tree losses. And yes, often, you know, when it's a smaller community, they don't have sophisticated forestry departments. They don't have the tax base to be putting in a lot of extra trees. And so this funding is really important to make sure sort of we level the playing field among communities who are losing trees so that they have the opportunity to put that whether it's a, you know, truly urban or a suburban or a, you know, rural community tree canopy back.
Chair Hansen?
And Mr. Chair, I think we put the same language in there about randomization. So the communities that are getting the tree grants wouldn't be the ones that are just the best at filling out the grants. They're going to, hopefully, folks who may just fill out the form on paper and get it in would be eligible, and so that we're, again, making sure that folks who need it are getting it.
Thank you. Anything further?
Nope. Thank you.
Chair Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner Stroman, real quickly, you mentioned something that struck me as a lot of our counties, especially northern counties, have very robust logging programs, and they have to replant as well. Are we looking at a potential seedling shortage for these type operations when you factor in what the DNR logs off and what the counties and maybe some municipalities log off?
Commissioner Stroman?
Mr. Chair and Representative Eklund, I don't know if I can say we are anticipating a seedling shortage. I haven't been made aware if that is a problem that is looming. I think, again, one of the reasons that we requested the funding for these purposes be available for a longer period of time is clearly we can't supply all of the trees, you know, on day one and year one. And so that is something. And the other thing I will say is, not that drought ever comes at a good time, but as the legislature may remember, that we received funding last year to actually start to ramp up capacity at the Bedora State Forest Nursery. And I think, you know, this is an example of why that is really important. That is an incredibly important asset for the state of Minnesota to be able to grow those seedlings. And of course, then we work in partnership with private tree growers too, to make sure that the full demand is met. So we will be, you know, watching that very closely.
Okay. I guess I would ask, you know, I don't serve on the, Chair Eklund, you have something further?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And real quickly, I think this is an interesting conversation to have in light of how forestry and the pulp and paper and lumber industry is just as much of a agricultural type aspect for northeastern Minnesota as talking about the rest of the ag needs throughout the state. So they're definitely tied together. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, thanks. As I was saying a second ago, I don't serve on the Natural Resources Committee, and I don't know what went into developing the numbers on this bill or the timeline of spending the money for reforestation or watering or whatever you know, and how quickly should this pass? How quickly could the local units receive funding to start the work? Commissioner Stroman?
Mr. Chair, I think it will vary a bit by program, as we talked about, where we need to, for example, for the community tree planting grants, we'll have to have an application period. So, you know, that will take a little bit of time. For the reforestation, you know, we have some seedling supply. We want to make sure that we have the rest. But I think the point on timing is, those losses are real, they're there now, and the longer we delay planting the trees, the longer it will take for them to mature and for those effects to be mitigated. So the sooner the legislature can appropriate the funding, the sooner we can get going on the steps needed. Some folks will get addressed first, some might take a little bit longer, but it will shorten the overall timeline and make sure that those impacts are either not felt or you know, not that the time frame in which they might be felt is shortened.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Dames, please.
Thank you, Chair Sundin. This question is for Commissioner Stroman. Did you request this in your budget to the environmental, on your environmental finance request in that budget?
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair and Senator Deems, if I'm understanding your question correctly, yes, it was part of the governor's proposed supplemental budget that went to the Environment and Natural Resource Committees in both the Senate and the House. It was originally proposed and prepared for the potential of a special session, should there have been one last summer or last fall to address drought, because there wasn't one, it went into the supplemental budget that the governor proposed this year.
Okay, thank you. Senator Deems?
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Rick Hansen, Chair Hansen, please.
Just earlier today, Chair Sundin, I think we were sitting next to each other in Ways and Means when we adopted the budget resolution, and that the drought relief was running separate from the budget resolution adopted in the House. So you had an line item in ag, and I had one in environment, but under other was the avian influenza $1 million that had already been signed into law, but I also believe it had the 23 or 24 million as a separate item running in a different lane than either in the house, in the ag or environment budget, if that's correct.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we did get some emergency funding out earlier before we took a break. That kind of frees this conference committee up to focus on the drought assistance and recovery only. So that's terrific. Anything further from the committee at this point? Chair Westrum, any comments before we close up today? You have any thoughts you'd like to share regarding next steps or meeting tomorrow? Did we lose the senator? Senator Western, please. Joel Hansen, can you help us out here? Maybe we can wait a couple minutes to see if Senator Westrum reappears. Joel Hansen. Can you help us out?
Dean, can you hear me?
There you are. Hey, welcome back.
Hey.
We're just wondering,
I had a call, so sorry about that. Okay.
Go ahead. Yeah, we've got kind of wrapping it up here with a lot of good information, lots of good comments and questions here, but just wondering, how'd you like to proceed? Set up another meeting tomorrow. You'd have the gavel and set the agenda, and we can maybe come to some terms here.
I guess we can wait and see. I think it would be helpful maybe if we could discuss just some options. I did have one question for the commissioner, the DNR commissioner, if she's still with us.
Please, go ahead. Senator Stroman's still here.
Commissioner Stroman, I heard you talk about the kind of the dollars for the trees and the timeliness, but is there a willingness for the DNR to work on this issue separately from this bill, or you? It sounded like your timing and the farmer's timing might not be on the same level of urgency as far as every week is causing farmers more delay in getting it processed through the Department of Agriculture. But if we had other resolution in the next month, is there going to be a lot affected, whether the money would come out by April 30th for you guys versus May 15th or May 20th?
Commissioner Strong?
Mr. Chair and Senator Westrum, again, I think there's a little bit difference, right, in how you define urgency. While the impacts are seen to farmers immediately, right, and so we can see those, the impacts to our forests and our waters may happen over time, but it doesn't mean there isn't an urgency today to act to reverse that problem. And so what I would say is, we do think that there is some urgency in getting this funding going, particularly because, tree planting often happens in the spring. We're coming up late already for that this year, but it may still be possible to get some of those trees planted yet this year. But certainly any further delay means, we're not addressing that problem, and we're going to see the problem grow down the road. So I think it's very difficult to say one is more urgent than the other. I think they're both very timely right now.
So, Commissioner.
Senator Westman.
Thank you, Chair Sundin. Commissioner, is that the governor's official position then, that the DNR money is the same level of urgency as the farmers?
Commissioner Stroman.
Mr. Chair, Senator Westrum, what I can say is the governor proposed both of them back last year during the drought. The governor put both of them in his supplemental bill after there was no special session to address drought relief, and they remain, in the governor's list of priorities.
Okay, and Mr. Chairman, Commissioner
Senator Westrum,
I didn't feel like I got a real answer there, but you were saying your prior comment was that these are the same level of urgencies, and I'm just trying to figure out, is that the governor's official position? Because I've read articles in the newspaper that he's okay with these two issues separating, but I'm trying to figure out with your comments, if you're representing that they're the same level of urgency, or if one is more pressing than the other in the next 5 weeks.
Commissioner Stroman, response?
Mr. Chair and Senator Westrum, again, if we don't address the loss of tree seedlings on forested land, or we don't address the shade trees, we will feel those same effects. It might not be tomorrow, but the longer we wait, the more pronounced those effects will be, and the more likely they are to be felt by our communities and our loggers and others. So I guess I don't know why it wouldn't be urgent to address this. As long as we are addressing drought relief for farmers, I'm not sure there's any advantage to not address drought relief related to trees and water, and leave the folks who depend on those resources wondering when and if the legislature will come back and address those.
Any further? Senator Westrum.
Chair, and I guess Commissioner Stroman, we can continue to discuss it. I mean, one of the big differences, the Senate does not have this language at all, so it does slow down the relief for the farmers, and it will continue to slow it down just because there's a a big difference between the Senate and House bill on that aspect. And so if that was worked out on another bill or a piece of legislation, the $10 million and how it's divided up between the House and Senate components of the part dealing with just the farmer emergency aid is much closer. So that's why it can take longer to make this happen. And I guess that's what maybe you could just tell me what, if we could pass this week, what would happen next week at the DNR for planting more trees that would otherwise not happen if it wasn't passed until May 20th, for example? What will happen those 4 weeks at the DNR with actual tree planting? Because it sounded like your comments earlier was these dollars would be spent over a long period of time to keep the reforestation. But specifically, if it's passed in the middle of May instead of in the next week, what will be the significant change in what the DNR does over the next 4 weeks?
Mr. Chair and Senator Westrom, it means we will not get going on planting trees. We will not get going on providing grant applications to communities who are looking to replace trees, and we will not have funding to provide to counties and private forest landowners and tribal governments who lost seedling mortality. So, I think those folks who have lost trees and know that they and other people depend on them don't feel any less sense of urgency, right? Because they know those trees are gone and they want to see them replaced to know they're there. So I think that's the piece. If we have the money sooner, we would potentially be able to get it to the counties and tribes for tree planting yet this spring, which is, an ideal time to plant trees. So that is why we had this proposal back last fall and why we have been encouraging the legislature to deal with this early on in this session.
So Mr. Chair, Commissioner, so hypothetically, if we pass this bill yet this week, will you be out planting trees next week then because the money got passed this week? Can we expect that then?
Commissioner Stroman.
Mr. Chair, Senator Westrom, as for on DNR lands, I'm not sure what our planting schedule is. I can guarantee you we will be out there as soon as possible planting our trees. And as I said, with money that's going to county and tribes, we would be getting that money out the door. And our intention would be that some of them would be able to plant yet this spring and not miss the window for this year.
Mr. Chair, we can continue some discussions on this. Last question, Commissioner Stroman. Why do you want the money till 2027 if it's so urgent to get it out right now with the farmer drought relief?
Commissioner Stroman, please.
Mr. Chair, Senator Westrom, as I said previously, we need to start the program. There will be some places where it takes more time to get the trees planted for communities to prepare that, but it does not mean the problem is not present today, and certainly some of that planting will occur. We can't plant, again, where we've lost, 70-some percent of our tree seedlings. We won't be able to get that all done necessarily in a span of a week, but we need to know we're going to have the funding to get it started and then to continue it until it's done.
Thank you. Anything further?
Thank you.
Senator?
No, Mr. Senator or Representative Sundin, I think we might need to have some continued discussions. And I guess maybe one more question, Commissioner. What amount would you start with in the next 4 weeks if we wanted to fast track this bill and then any additional dollars for the next money from then till 2027? Was funded in a different budget bill. How much would you need in the next 4 weeks to rapidly respond to the items you'll do in the next 4 weeks that wouldn't be part of the ongoing years after that?
Commissioner Stone?
Mr. Chair, Senator Westrum, I think we could get back to the committee with that information. I think we'd like to take a little bit of time to do some analysis. Again, while communities may not be planting trees in the next 2 weeks, they can't even plan to plant trees if they don't know there's going to be a grant program and have an application process. So I think we need to take those kinds of factors into account. We know that well interferences could still be occurring, and so that money may be needed. And so I'm happy to take a look at that, but I'd need to sit down with our team, and we need to provide some more information to the committee on the specifics of if there is some portion that could wait and not unduly impact folks who have been impacted by the drought.
Thank you, Commissioner. That's it, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you very much. Thank the Commissioner. Two more hands up. Chair Hansen, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Commissioner Stroman. Well interference could occur tomorrow, correct? I mean, we're still in a drought. Is that correct,
Commissioner Stroman?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, potentially it could, right? I mean, they can occur at any time when water is being used. We typically see them enhanced during the drought, but that was one of the comments I just made is, you know, we don't know when those will occur. We can't necessarily predict them.
And Mr. Chair?
Chair Hansen, please.
Senator Westrum, in the House, we still distribute trees for Arbor Day, and that's next week. So I will save one for you if you would like. We couldn't get any conifers because the demand is already there. So just an indication of, I think Minnesotans appreciate their trees, whether they're in front of their house or in their farmstead windbreak, or that they're involved in the logging community, or in the mills, or in the wood products industry. It's part of who we are as Minnesotans. And so the question before us is not an either or, that we do just one and not the other. It's a question of both. Both of these provisions are needed, whether it's forestry or whether it's agriculture. We can do both. We've got the budget. We can do both. It's not a question of one getting something and then the other doesn't, or can wait. We can do both. We're able to walk and chew gum at the same time. We can do this and do what's best for Minnesotans.
Thank you, Chair Hansen. I see what Senator Western might have a response there. So,
Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen, the problem we have in our area up in Northwest is it's still frozen, so we can't plant the trees even right now. So maybe down in southeast Minnesota or in the southern metro, you've got enough frost out, but most of our area is still dealing with frost in the ground. So it might be a while. The forecast, they're talking upper or low to mid 40s for next week now. So it's getting to be a pretty big delay for even tilling the ground. If you have an extra tree, I'll always take one, but if you've got a good spot for it that can be planted, that'd probably be best to plant it in your area if it's already thawed out. But in a little more serious note, Senator Representative Hansen, there's a lot of things we can do. It's just whether the farm drought aid should be held up for passing all these other budget areas that for as a practical matter, probably can handle a little more delay. They've got bigger budgets to work with already than our many of our farmers who are just going week to week trying to skimp by to find a way to get feed till they get to the next crop of hay. So that's where I would distinguish there's a difference. Otherwise, we can wait and pass it all together, the environment bill and the education bill and the ag bill. And that's why the Senate put it on kind of a separate urgent track, just the drought relief. But that's why we'll need to talk a little bit more. So, Mr. Chair, to kind of your question, let's try to follow up with options here.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. I skipped over Representative Anderson a couple of times there. His hand came up and down. Is he still with us?
Mr. Chair, in the brevity of time, I will save my question.
Okay. My apologies. We're got busy in conversations there.
Yep. No, that's fine. That's fine.
Never do it intentionally. You know that. Okay. Senator Westrom kind of wraps things up for today with the conversation. We got a lot of good information here. I understand you would potentially have the gavel tomorrow for the next meeting, and I hope we can get something productive done sooner rather than later.
And Mr. Chair, as we close to adjournment, we can talk, but maybe it'd be helpful to put a couple proposals on paper to just, you know, areas we could see modifying. But again, we don't have anything in our bill dealing with the tree tree relief, drought, tree saplings, and other grants that they're proposing out till 2027. So keeping these two things linked gets to be a problem to just resolve the $10 million that's in our bill. But if you guys could put some proposals together on how to adopt some of our language that we have, and we can look at adopting language that's in your bill, that I think would help make some headway. And I'm open to doing that if you'd be open to doing that, to put it down in writing, so we can kind of see some other ideas that even the commissioner and you guys and us, the three of us, can have, I guess, just to exchange some ideas and offers. That'd be helpful.
Okay, I'd like to do that at some point tomorrow, and get something down on paper that we can move forward with. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, that'd be good.
So after adjournment, the gavel is yours, and looking forward to your leadership on keeping this thing going.
Very good.
Okay, thank you. We're adjourned.